Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you once again. We missed being with you last Friday because we were over in England visiting some friends that we have known for many, many years and doing a little bit of preaching. But here we are again with you. This is a special day, by the way, in the United Kingdom. Anybody, any ideas? Yes. We leave the EU. Is that what you said? Yes, it's Brexit Day. Now, that may not mean a great deal to you, but I think that years from now, maybe not that many years from now, you will realise that something very important was happening in the United Kingdom when it withdrew from the European Union. I'll not go into that this morning, but just remember this date and think back upon it in years to come. We are turning for our study to Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you are already there. That's nice to see. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read two verses, verse 11 and verse 12. So that's Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, that's God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Have you ever tried to count the grains of sand on the beach? Now you'd be a long time before you'd get all the grains counted on any beach. In fact, I don't think you would live long enough to do that. And that's the term that God uses here to speak about the descendants of Abraham. There sprang from Abraham. In other words, he was the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of descendants, and they are as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach. Because today, throughout the world, there are many, many descendants of Abraham, the chief of which we call the Jewish people. But there's not only the Jews that lived today, but what about the Jews that lived in the last generation, and the generation before that, and the generation before that, and so it goes on and on and on, right back to Abraham himself. What a multitude of people, all sprang from Abraham. And of course, Sarah is included in this wonderful declaration. The verse 11 begins, through faith also Sarah. We ought to note that in the great purpose of God, the ladies had a place. Don't ever forget that. We do tend to think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Elijah and Paul and Peter. But there were amongst those men great ladies, and Sarah was one of them. It says, through faith Sarah. Sarah had faith. She believed God, just like Abraham believed God, and Jacob believed God, and Isaac believed God, and all the great men in the Bible believed God. So it was with Sarah. She believed God. Now Sarah, like all of us, had her faults. She wasn't perfect. And in the Bible you'll read about the faults of Sarah. But despite her faults, she believed God. And you know, boys and girls, in every true Christian, you will find faith, confidence in God, a believing of God, a reading of His Word, and a believing what He says. You will find that in every true Christian. You can't be a Christian and not have faith, for it is by faith that we're saved. It's by believing in God that we are saved. But in every true believer, you'll find faults. You'll find faults. Maybe you're saved today, but you're conscious that you do wrong. You do wrong. A little bit of disobedience here and there. A lie, now and again. And along comes the devil and says, there you are. You can't be saved if you're doing that. Well, boys and girls, the truth of the matter is, until the Christian gets to heaven, they will, on occasions, sin. In fact, God says, if we say we have no sin, we being Christians, if we Christians say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We're not telling the truth. But when the Christian sins, they turn to the Lord, who is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yes, Sarah had faults, and you can find them in the Bible. God doesn't hide it, but Sarah also had faith, and through faith she played a most vital part in God's great purpose. For from her there sprang the Jewish people. She was the mother, Abraham was the father, but she was the mother of the Jewish people. She had Isaac, who had Jacob, and then the 12 tribes, and then the multitude, and the multitude, and the multitude that have covered many generations. Let me show you first of all, in this verse, the children are the gift of God. Where did all the descendants come from that Sarah had and Abraham had? Where did they all come from? God. Look at what it says. Take note of it here. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength from God to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. This was God's doing. She had a little baby and it was God's doing. God's doing. Anytime you look at a little baby, and we all have a chance to do that every so often, just you think, this little baby was given of God. This little baby was given of God. That means that that little baby is very precious. I mean, that which God gives has to be very precious. Any gift that he gives has to be very precious indeed. Boys and girls, you may not know this, but there are many people in this world today, many prime ministers, many members of parliaments, many presidents, many very important people, men and women, who believe that unwanted babies may be killed. They believe that. They believe that if a baby is not wanted in the family, you can kill it. Kill it before it's born. But do you remember this? They're killing that which is very precious to God. He gave that little one. And how wicked, therefore, is this world today, and so many in it, that they should think it's quite all right to kill babies before they're born. And there are those, and we can read about them in the newspapers and hear about it on the news, there are those who kill babies after they've been born, only months old. Count them a nuisance. Always crying, they say. And they brutally kill them. I want to tell you that is an awful crime in God's eyes. And those who do that will pay a heavy penalty in due time. Now, going a little further, because all life, all little babies, come from God, who is the author of life, when life comes to an end here on earth, then the spirit goes back to God. Do you know that? This body of ours is like a tent. Someone puts up a tent, and then they crawl into it to have a nice sleep during the night. Well, this body is like a tent, and inside there is the real you. And one day, God's going to take down the tent, and the real you will go to meet him. I'll read a verse, Ecclesiastes, the chapter 12 and the verse 7. That's just a little book. Comes after the Psalms, then the Proverbs, then the Ecclesiastes. And in the last chapter, chapter 12, the verse 7, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The dust? What was Adam made from? That's right, the dust of the ground. And at the end of our days, we return to dust. It's a little bit of a mystery, but don't you worry about it. God has it all under control. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. We come from God. He is our Creator. And when our life comes to a close, we report back, as it were, to God. We need to live with that knowledge in mind. I have to stand before God one day. That's why the gospel warns us and tells us to be saved, to be ready to meet with God. For we're all going to meet Him from the dust, which man returns to when life is ended. From that very dust, God will call all mankind to stand up and meet Him one day. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus, John chapter 5 and the verse 28 and 29. Listen to this now. Marvel not at this. You see, men marvel. They can't believe in the resurrection. They ask questions. They doubt that it can be so. It happened to Paul on Mars Hill in Athens when he preached the gospel, and when he spoke about the resurrection of the dead, all around them said, "What's he talking about, the resurrection of..." They didn't believe it. They didn't know anything of God's truth. And today there are millions and millions and millions in the world who don't believe in the resurrection. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Marvel not. Don't mock. Don't doubt. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves. When you go home, the chances are you'll pass a graveyard. Some of you will pass two. There's two graveyards here in Kilskerry, a very, very old one, dating hundreds of years ago. Then there's the graveyard up round the parish church. Then as you drive on towards Oma, far side of Trillick, there is the Methodist church on the right-hand side, Tucker Duke. Then you'll pass another graveyard in Dromore. And so it goes on. And those who go in the other direction, well, like manner, here and there, graveyards. And from those graves one day, the Lord Jesus says, those, all of those that are in the grave, shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. So there's going to be a resurrection one day. All whoever lived on the earth will come forth from their grave. There will be the resurrection of the just, of the saved. And there will be the resurrection of those who never believed the gospel and who were not saved. It's called the resurrection of life, that's the saved, and the resurrection of damnation, that's the lost. And they're brought from the grave, and they're brought once again into union with the Spirit that left the body when they died and went to meet God. When the Spirit and the body is brought together. In the case of the saved, brought together, glorified, and will spend eternity in heaven. In the case of the lost, body's raised, the Spirit, the unconverted Spirit, brought into union with the body again, and then body and soul are cast into eternal judgment. Boys and girls, you listen to the gospel. Not merely listen to it, you obey it, that you might have part in the resurrection unto life. The resurrection unto life. So the Lord's going to call all men before Him one day. Now the second thing I want to show you, for there's only two things we're going to look at today. The second thing I want to show you from this text that we're looking at, Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12, I'll read them again. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength from God to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God gave her a baby. The baby came from God. Therefore sprang there even of one. Now we're talking about Abraham. And him as good as dead. Why did God say that? Because he was an old man. an old man. Him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. God gave a baby to a lady who, well, she was old, but God was kind. And God gave a son to a man who was old. And from that old man, there sprang a race of people as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, point I want you to learn from this is that in making an old man like Abraham the father of millions, we have explained to us what God meant by the words that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verses 26 to 29. Now, you turn those up, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians, not too hard to find, right in the middle of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're looking at the verses 26 and 29. Let me read them to you. Now, Paul's talking to Christians. Paul's talking to Christians. 1 Corinthians, let's take our time and find it, please, so I want you to observe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verse 26, for ye see your. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. Talking to Christians in Corinth, but he's talking to us all who are Christians. And he's saying, you see, your calling. You can see what God has wrought in your life when he called you by the gospel. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, or nothing, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, verses 26, 27, 28, and 29 are explained to us what this means. What does this mean when we look at these things? What does it mean? What is Paul teaching? Well, he's teaching us that just as it was with Abraham, God chose an old man and made him the father of the Jewish people. And from this old man, nearly dead, there came all these millions of people. Why didn't God choose a young, robust, strong, vigorous man? Why did he choose an old man that people were expecting to die almost any day? Why did God choose him to be the father of millions? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29 tells us that God doesn't choose many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty men, not many noble men are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things, things of no value, of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, that count for nothing, to bring to naught the things that are. That's how God works. When the Lord Jesus Christ chose apostles, where did he go? The royal court? No. The great financial business organizations? No. Maybe a parliament and pick out some of the great parliamentarians? No. He walked by the seashore and he called some simple fishermen and others, like Matthew, who was a tax collector, or as the Bible terms them, publican. He counted for nothing, he was despised. Yet they are the ones God chose. Paul said of himself and his fellow laborers at that time, he says, we are the off-scourings of the world. You know what that word means? You know what that word means? Well, when you go down into the field and things are a bit damp and soft and you're running about and then you come up here and you look at your shoes and there's all sorts of old mud stuck to the soles and round the edges, what do you do? Well, what you better do before you come in here and start tramping it all over the place is scrape it off. Isn't that right? Well, do you know what they call that which you have scraped off? That's what Paul speaks of when he says the off-scourings. We're viewed by many people just like something you'd scrape off your shoe. Nothing of any value. And they're the ones God has chosen. The ones that God has chosen are seen by the world as nothings and nobodies. You're going to serve the Lord. Young lassie, young fella, if you're going to serve the Lord, that's how the world will look at you. You'll never get honor, you'll never get praise from the world if you are faithful to the Lord Jesus. Because you see, God has ordained that through those that the world counts as nothing, he's going to accomplish his work. Just the way he took an old man, Abraham, and from him created the millions of Jewish people. So, we have explained these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 26 and 29, by the story of Abraham and the birth of a son who went on to become a father himself, and those that were born of him became fathers, and so on and so on and so on until millions and millions were born. So we learn who it is God chooses for his service. Look at them. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, rather the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, and those that are nothing in the eyes of the world. Now, they're not that in the eyes of God. God loves them. They're vital and precious to him, but in the eyes of the world, that's what they are. Nobody's and nothings. That's what they thought about the Lord Jesus. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He's a liar. He's a fraud. He's possessed of the devil. He's not what he claims to be. That's what the people thought. And that's what they'll think of all those who seek to serve the Lord. God passes by all the mighty men, all the ones that appear to have the talent and the ability to really accomplish great things. God passes them by. And the reason he does this, well, it's given us in the verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, if you know you're a nothing, then whatever you see accomplished in your life, you don't say, I did this, but you say, God did this through me. The great King Nebuchadnezzar one day said, look at the great kingdom that I have built. But God took a dealing with him, took away his mental powers, and he became as an animal. He ate grass like an ox, and his fingernails grew like the claws of an eagle. He was just a wild creature. And God, if I might put it like this, scrambled his brains. And God did that to teach him, you didn't create this great kingdom of yours. I did, and I gave it to you. Boys and girls, that's why God has chosen the things that are nothing, that the praise and the glory of what the gospel has accomplished might be God's alone, and not those that God has chosen to serve him. Oh, that you might learn this, and that God might give you grace today to understand just what it is we have been trying to teach you. The Lord bless you. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Lord, bless the children today. Oh, that they might understand these words. They will not understand as a result of me speaking, Lord, but they may understand when thy Spirit enlightens their mind and their understanding. Oh, that you would bless them, Lord, with understanding of the gospel. See if any not see it. Strengthen those who are. Lead them on. Bless the school today. You know its needs. Look down kindly upon it, I pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.